What's up? Now I can hear you.
Did you get my Skype? I sent you a document.
This morning?
Yeah.
Okay. It hadn't come up yet. I don't know what the hell's going on, but sometimes I got to shut it down and bring it back up, shut it down and bring it back up so it loads.
Oh.
So, as I just left about 10 minutes ago, but up until that point, I still didn't have Skype. It may be there when I get back. I'll look.
Okay, we're going to proceed to arrest the judge. We're going to...
Well, did you disqualify him first?
Well,
you have to disqualify him. You have to put on the record that you're disqualifying him, and there's statutory provisions to do that, and you need to cite that as your precedence. Okay? Because you got to give him the opportunity to recuse himself for the watch on the bench. You got to exhaust your administrative remedies. Okay?
So, yeah.
I understand what you're saying, and I understand what you're doing. I probably would agree with it, but you have to notify these suckers that, you know, these are the precedents that we're doing this with. If not, you're going to have every sucker with a gun down on your ass.
Well, that's why I want you to read the document.
Okay.
Because it's all in there. It's showing the list of crimes and giving him an opportunity to rebut. But they didn't. They went ahead and filed it in the record, and that was a crime.
Okay, that's fine. But I'm still saying, if you're, before you arrest the judge, you have to disqualify the judge.
I understand.
With that disqualification, and it should be signed by more than one entity. Okay. Because you got to have witness, and you're going to do it. You're doing a common law action now. The other thing that I would say before you do that is you need to notify and sit down and talk with the colonial marshals. I don't know exactly where they're at in their process, but I heard a discussion that says that they're supposed to be having a test. I don't know when, but I heard them talk about, okay, you guys, you know, get your act together because you're going to have to pass these tests. And I heard that with the guy that's part of the head of the thing. So I would say, and we have already arranged to make sure that those colonial marshals are in direct contact with United States marshals. And so I would, if I was you guys, I would, you know, I'm not telling you how to do anything. It's up to you. I don't know what you're, where you're at in your whole system, but you're probably maybe 2 weeks away from being able to have not only you and whomever other entities are involved in this extraction under law. The more the merrier, if you know what I mean.
Who is the colonial, what did you call them?
The colonial marshals.
Who are they?
Okay. Are you aware? I spent 5 days in Alaska with Von Wrights.
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
Okay. How can I say this so we don't all get in fucking trouble? She has roughly 53 million followers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Among the people that she works with are former executive engineers at ARCO or whoever did Trudeau Bay that help her. And of those people, there's several. And one of the guys that I talked to and spent about 4 hours with, I mean, they pulled me out of the airplane, stuck me in a truck with him. And he and I sat for 4 hours and talked about, you know, what our intent was as far as the Republicans. And he then is, my understanding, is one of the heads of these colonial marshals. And he spent however many years on a flat top in 121 countries. He speaks like seven languages, got a photographic memory. And he has a command of roughly 13,000, whatever, of similar experienced people. Mm-hmm. And they have, through what Anna has done, and Anna basically is a hero to the country in what she did, if what she says has taken place, which I haven't seen file stamp paperwork, but I don't have any reason to not believe her. She explained to me from her side of the fence what they were doing, and she disagreed with us and what we're trying to do in the counties and the townships, and bring the townships, counties up, back up, back into the state, and go retain those seats of visual government, put people in them, and operate the thing the way we're supposed to be doing it. She was not aware of our side and how our side fit in with what she did, because what everything that she did was on a strictly international scope of jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
And what she did is, from her position, this is how I understand it. This is not set in stone, because we only talked for a couple hours, so we covered huge masses amount of information between each other.
Yeah.
In her position in the Vatican court, is my understanding, she saw whatever paperwork floating around that indicated that from the tidbits that they saw that the World Bank, the International Bank of Settlements, et cetera, were putting together something that was going to attack the United States. And what they found was, the banks were coming after the land and the soil, and they filed suit in the international courts to seize the land and the soil for abandonment by the people.
Yeah.
Okay?
I heard about that.
All right. So they track this whole thing. How, who, what, I don't understand. Doesn't matter. But whatever the opportune moment was for them to step in and say, whoa, wait a minute. People never abandoned this land. We never left. We've been here the whole time. And we're not bankrupt. And the bankrupt that's filing these claims is the bankrupt. And it's the British territorial government. It's not the people. And the international courts agreed. Okay? And they ruled in our favor. Now, she was a friggin' hero, if that is the absolute fact of how that proceeding went. Because she saved this country, the land and the soil, from being seized by the Rothschilds and their cohorts. Now, under that premise, what she did is, in the structuring of the way your country is established, and this is some of the stuff that we missed, she missed stuff that we didn't miss because we studied the judicial history of the country. She studied the international history of the country and the connections between all the corporate entities and all that stuff. So there was a federal, there was a union created, then there was a confederacy that was created, and then the confederacy and the union to operate on their behalf, a federation was created, and that federation was overthrown in 1871 and the pursuing, you know, since 29 to them. Okay, and they overthrew that whole scenario. And it was displaced by the District of Columbia. Well, with this court hearing, what happened is they are the bankrupt. So now that court then placed Anna as the fiduciary for the Federation, United States of America, was in place to create and control the mechanisms for commerce on an international scope between the states and the counties and the townships, which the states, counties, and township don't exist right now in the de jure side. Okay? She's the regulator of the commerce that relates to that. Now, they put her in a fiduciary position. So the first thing that they're doing is setting up banks. And what they're trying to do, and I don't know exactly what they're up to yet. I've read some of the stuff. But along with that comes, under the original grants of 1777,
wow,
a mechanism. mechanism for banking and a mechanism for these marshals in some context, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so these guys are being trained, and they're going to interface with the United States marshals, and I don't know how that's going to be arranged yet. We're not to that point. These guys are just being trained, and we already have United States marshals that are going to be discussing matters. Okay, and they're pretty much going to be in agreement, we do believe. So anyway, I don't know where that's going. We're also interfacing, you know, Brad's talking to the general. He's, and whatever her name is, Margaret, or whoever, talks to the provost marshal people. So, and I'm talking with the chiefs, and the chief's talking with his father, who's just a retired general. So there's a lot of stuff happening behind the scenes here that few people know or operate, and I just want you, don't want you guys to try to put yourself in a position to try to jump this gun that you don't know that's coming down the pike here. So I understand what you're doing, but you still need to follow your protocol, okay, and do your administrative. You gotta do all the stuff administratively and get rid of every one of those elements. Okay, then now you have, and with any hope, you just walk in. You want a map to do? You just can file a paper and hand it over to these guys, and they'll walk in. Say, hey, guy, and all you bailiffs and everybody else come with us.
Wow.
Okay, so that's kind of like what I see as the game plan. Now, how that plays out, I don't know. I know some situations that took place. Maybe totally coincidental. I don't know. But on Saturday, 3 weeks ago tomorrow, or this Saturday, whatever it is, a copy of the Pirates book was, I was told, was put in the hands of Flynn. And it was also put in the hand of Ann Vandersteel. Was also put in the hands of Scott McKay, who is a, you know, for Trump as an advisor.
Wow.
Another guy, Seth something, and another guy, Joe Rogan,
yeah,
have all supposedly been given a copy of that book.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if it was coincidence or anything that happened on a Saturday afternoon previous to us being in Alaska. We left the following Friday, and then on Tuesday of that next coming week, after we'd been up there for a couple days, the chief got a phone call. And he hung up the phone call, and I could hear him. He goes, "There's what?" And he says, "Wait." He goes, "Wait a minute. There's a bomber with 18 seats headed to where, and they want me to be where when?" And that's all I heard.
Wow.
Okay. And 24 hours later, he walked and got on an airplane and was gone. Okay.
Who was his chief?
He's the chief. He's Laverne Charles Fast Horse. I've been told, and we haven't seen any evidence to otherwise, and I have seen documents that have his thumbprints and seals on it, but he's supposed to be the chief of the Lakota Nations.
Wow.
I don't know if you know and understand the Indian structuring.
Yeah.
Okay. He is the head chief of the head chiefs.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm working directly with him, and he's working directly with Anna, and we're all also working directly with other entities in other countries to reestablish a proper banking structure and system in such a manner that we can actually be able to take fiat currency and through a process of banking, an internal banking process, turning in enough money.
Wow.
And the chief is going to be was a lawful issuer of that money in relation with, because the Indians are the owners of the land, so that makes them the land sovereign, so they're required to issue the currency.
So what is he going to do about a bomber?
Okay, well, there was people on that bomber.
Yeah.
And he went to a meeting.
But
okay.
It wasn't a bomber. It wasn't a bomber that's going to bomb something. That's the transport.
It's a converted into a transport.
Okay, I got it now. All right.
Okay. So anyway, he went to that meeting and he was there for I guess 3 days. And he might have been four, so he got back. I just heard him on the phone last night. We conversed shortly. So anyway, that's kind of like a heads up of what's going on from my perspective. I don't know where it's going. You know what we're doing with Brad and working with him and those guys. So how that's all going to put together. Supposedly, you know, everything's coming together on the fund side of this thing as well. My understanding is Iraq was officially brought into the World Trade Organization. And if that's true, then they got to revalue their currency because you can't operate on a global commodity markets and everything else with a currency that's worth a tenth of a penny.
Yeah.
So that's it. My understanding is in the process, and they'll be reinstating their currency at somewhere around the old rate. They're thinking somewhere around $4. Okay, so they're saying there's other rates available, and I know they'll flood them to currency like they do all the time. They're doing this. They do the same process after every kind of major skirmish.
Okay, so are you...
These guys so long to get it done, so... I'm just letting you know, and how you want to do that, it's up to you guys, but I wouldn't jump a gun that when it's coming down the road that you could have massive support from two agencies, one a constitutional agency and one an sub-agency of a de facto Department of Justice, but the people that are in the department and in that marshal service are there. They know what's going on. They're discussing what's happening. Okay, so they have the ability. A marshal can walk into that courtroom and snatch up one of those judges in a heartbeat. Not just there. They're not just there to protect, you know, the court or protect any maliciousness going on in the court, but you have to be astute of what's going on, and there's enough people out there finally filing the right paperwork that is starting to wake some of these idiots up.
So if you can give me the addresses of the other guys, we'll do the same thing to them. Whoever you're talking about.
Okay, my people that are doing that I tie into that are on their whatever and traveling right now. I know that that's back. So anyway,
yeah,
as soon
right.
as they get to their destination.
All right. All right.
That's where we're at. So I'll read that when I get back.
All right.
I'm just saying you can't go down and arrest him until you disqualify him as a judge, and that's pretty easy to do. And there's statutory provision. We just disqualified a judge here in California.
Okay. Okay, I'll start doing the research on that to get the statutes and stuff.
Right, and then once you disqualify him, and he doesn't respond to that, then you know you've got him in default, and then you just take the default, go down, hand it to Marshall, and walk and say, take this man off the bench, and his whole staff, everyone he suffered, gone.
Wow.